Come on now, TJX, make some noise. If you're glad to be in the house today. Oh, come on, come on. I said make some noise for God. The one who deserves all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Come on, he's been too good to you. He's been too good to you. That would be okay for Beyonce or Drake. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited to be before you today. I want to get straight into the scripture because we have a lot of scripture to read. Y'all not afraid of that, right? Y'all not afraid of a bit of a Bible reading today? Because we got to end this fast off right. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3. The last time I spoke to you, we kicked off the fast in Daniel chapter 1. And we observed the origin of the Daniel fast. We saw Daniel and his friends enter into Babylonian captivity. And King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to indoctrinate them into Chaldean culture. And we saw Daniel stand firm on his diet. And we saw the Lord be faithful to him and his friends and give Daniel the gift of interpreting dreams and visions. And then later in chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he could not interpret. But Daniel had the Spirit of God upon him and could interpret the dream. And then that led to him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being promoted in the kingdom. But how many of you know the story doesn't end there? That even though you've been faithful, even though you fasted, even though you've showed the enemy that you will stand firm in what you believe, the enemy's gonna switch the strategy. And oftentimes, we're about to see he can turn up the heat to really see if you're about that life. I'm gonna tap your neighbor to your left, say, hey, are you about that life? Are you about that life? This fast is about to end. But the attack of the enemy might begin. Turn to your other neighbor, the cute one, and say, are you about that life? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about that life. I just caused a whole bunch of beef on your row. It's all good, though. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 8 through 18. I told you it's going to be quite a bit of scripture, but bear with me, because God has something to say through his word today. Verse 8 says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Verse 11, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, a brother named Shadrach, a brother named Meshach, and a bad Negro, and Abednego. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to read right. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your lowercase g gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king, and then Nebuchadnezzar said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my lowercase g gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, we'll play the music, and you can fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Watch this. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Verse 16. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Come on now. You know God with you. It's like hey, fire. I mean, a furnace. We don't need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our capital G God, the actual God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, oh God. Verse 18 is where it gets really, really good. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Come on now. I can run up out of here and we can have an altar call just off of reading that scripture. I want to teach a message to you today called Faithful in the Furnace. Because a lot of you, you're about to end this fast, and the Lord has given you a lot in these past few weeks. And I want you to know that the enemy has been taking notes. And because you've shown yourself faithful, he's about to turn up the heat. And there's nothing that is a bigger threat to your faithfulness than false idols, little g gods. The question is, will you bow to God and God alone, even if it means facing the fire? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, because you are the one true God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord, for this season of fasting and praying. And we thank you for how you've downloaded revelation and truth into our lives. And I thank you how we've moved our flesh out of the way so your Holy Spirit could really take place in our hearts and our minds, God. But we don't want to be foolish and think that the enemy is not frustrated with the faithfulness we've displayed. We pray that just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that when the culture, that when the leaders of this world, when the enemy threatens us and challenges our faithfulness, that we will be bold, strong, and courageous. And no matter what the outcome, we will refuse to bow to lowercase g gods. We will always bow to you. If we live, it's for you. If we die, it's for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we can remain faithful in the fire. If you agree with that prayer, everyone say amen. 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 You may sit down. Here we go. I'm so excited, y'all, to be here. This is one of those words where it's half warning, half encouragement, because God has been doing some amazing things in this church, in his people, because you've been faithful through this fast. A lot of y'all have a reservation for 6:01 this evening. I mean, you ready. You done called your friends. You even ordered the food ahead of time. So when I sit down, it's coming. It is there. Some of y'all got something in the crock pot right now, slow cooking. And when 6:01, you hear that tick tock. Brother, when you hear that talk, the plate is fixed. Thank you, Lord, for this fast. And that's okay. I want you to know that that's okay. Because like I said last time, fasting is not about food. It's about faithfulness. It's about putting the enemy on notice and saying, I will deny my flesh so that I can receive from the Holy Spirit. And I'm so grateful that you guys were faithful in this, but I have to give you a warning, because we're looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And after they were faithful to their diet, yes, the Lord promoted them in the kingdom. They found favor with King Nebuchadnezzar. But the thing is, just because you're faithful, just because God is doing some amazing things in your life, that doesn't mean that the culture you live in is going to all of a sudden start respecting God and switch up and see him as who he truly is. King Nebuchadnezzar, when his dream was interpreted, he gave God glory in that moment. But he was still of the Chaldean culture. And when I was reading this, I was like, where have I seen the Chaldean name before? Where have I seen this before? Do you remember a brother named Abraham? And you remember the beginning of Abraham's story is the Lord called him out of the land into the land that he called him to. What land did he call Abraham out of? The town of Ur of the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans are synonymous with two things: the demonic and the worship of false gods. The Lord called Abraham out of that town, out of that culture, because he needed Abraham to know, if I'm going to start the family of faith through you, your family will worship one God and one God alone. What's the first of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not worship any god before me. The Lord takes it very serious when it comes to who you bow down to. So King Nebuchadnezzar, even though he recognized God in chapter 2, he turned up in chapter 3. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a 90-foot golden image. And every time I play the music, people need to bow down and worship. He was putting their faithfulness to the test. And when the music played, everyone bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they caused the king to be very furious. Go with me to verse 13. Verse 13, we just read that, but I'm going to read it again. Verse 13 through 14, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar, when he found out that the Hebrew boys were not bowing and worshiping, he entered into a furious rage, and he commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought the boys before the king. Verse 14, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have put up? If you're taking notes, I want you to make a little sub note. This first point I'm making is, the question is, will you trust God no matter what? Oh, come on. Now, we just sung the song where it says, for your glory, I will do what? Anything. The question is, will you trust God no matter what? Because the note you need to take is that faithfulness is not proven by word. Oh, my gosh. I can say I'm faithful all day long. I can say I love God all day long. I can say I'm down all day long. But it's really proven by your actions. Yes, you could do the fast. Yes, you can sing the songs. But what happens when culture confronts you and asks you who you really worship? We can talk the talk of faithfulness, but now it's about to be tested. I'm warning you that now that you have put your faith on display by fasting, the enemy is going to put you to a test. Look at verse 15. And then Nebuchadnezzar gave them an opportunity to bow down to his king. He said, now, if you are ready, when you hear every kind of music, fall down and worship the image, watch this, that I have made. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And then he got really, really thuggy on him. He said, and who is the God who's going to deliver you from my hands? I want you to remember this, that not all idols look like golden statues. Let me play that back on replay. Let me rewind that, because some of y'all don't even understand what I'm saying. They were facing a golden statue. He was telling them to bow down to that false idol. And some of y'all are hearing me preach right now, and you're like, oh, I'm not bowing down to statues. But there are some false idols in your life that you don't even realize are idols. Some of y'all didn't realize food was an idol until you started fasting. And you was like, wait a minute, my flesh is angry with me because I'm changing my diet. You didn't realize that certain things in your life have presented themselves as idols. You didn't realize your relationship was an idol until you told them that you needed to take some time to fast and pray with God. And that took away from your date time. It took away from your Netflix and chill time. Let me back up. This is what's crazy about idols. There are certain things that aren't even bad in nature. Not all of the things that are idols in your lives are bad in nature. But idols are anything that seek to take God's place in your life. Idols, let me say that again. Idols are anything that seeks to take God's rightful place in your life. So my question for you is, what idols have you built in your life? What are the things in your life that take you away from your time with God? What are some things in your life that when you hear that God has a command against that thing, you get an attitude when you have to change it? What is the thing that you say you're willing to give up everything for him, but it's except this one thing? God, I'll give up everything, but hey, smoking helps me calm down. God, I'll give up everything, but when I'm drunk, I don't think about what I'm dealing with. I'll give up everything, but they understand me. I know they don't love God, but God, they get me. Like, what is the thing that is presenting itself as a false idol in your life. You don't even realize you're bowing down. But when you try to stop, that idol starts to buck back at you. Your friends start to say, oh, you're starting to act different now. We used to do this all the time. But you started going to that little church. That little church. You wouldn't even go eat wings with me yesterday. I don't even know what's going on. Like, the idols will start to show up when you start to be faithful to God and his word. And look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are faced with the threat of death. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you one last chance to bow down to this false idol. I know that you worship God. I know all that. And he didn't interpret my dream. That's cute. But I created this statue for you to worship. And if you don't worship, I will throw you in the fiery furnace. And that's another thing. Some of you guys, you really want to be obedient. You really want to tear down the idols in your lives. But you're afraid of the consequences of tearing those idols down. You want to serve God, but you don't want to face the fire that's going to come if you remain faithful. I know I wouldn't get a lot of amens on that one. Verse 16, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, and they had some Holy Ghost swag when they said this. They was like, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we see your little statue. 90 feet? Wow, that's great. Our God is so much bigger than 90 feet. And we have really no answer to your matter. So what's going to happen is this. First thing, let me just tell you this. Don't play with my God again. Don't play with my God because he is a deliverer. Watch this. Ooh, even if he doesn't deliver us. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear what I just said? They said, don't play with my God. He will deliver us from this furnace. But even if he doesn't, that doesn't change that he is a deliverer. So some of y'all, you're in a tough situation. You're like, God, I'm waiting on you to give me this promotion. I'm waiting on this job. I know you're a provider, but you're a provider even if you don't provide for me right now. God, I've been waiting on you to heal my heart. I've been in counseling. I've been praying, and you haven't healed it yet. But I'm still going to believe that you're a healer even if you don't heal me right now. Don't let your situation make you think differently about God's character. Whether he does it or not, whether it's in his will or not, his character has not changed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wanted to say, I want you to know that even if we get in this furnace and we burn up, our God is still a deliverer, and he's still better than the statue you've built. I'm about to run up out of here. Y'all not running with me, but I'm gonna run by myself. It's gonna be a one-man track meet. The first thing that you have to ask yourself is, will you trust God no matter what? Because I wish I could preach a cute sermon and tell you that the fire is not coming. But it is. The enemy hates to see you dedicate yourself to being faithful to God. Watch this. In every area of your life, the enemy is fine with you obeying him for a percentage of time. He's like, he can have every other room in the house of your life, but do I still get the master bedroom? As long as I have a room in your house, you can let God in every other house, every other room. But the Lord, he wants to inhabit every single area of your life. And when you start to declare yourself faithful to him, he realizes that he has to go in order for you to make room for the new things that God is doing in your life. And the way that he tests you is by turning up the heat when it comes to your idols. Here's my second point. Ooh, this is good. Go to verse 19. I know it's a lot of scripture, but go with me. It's going to get good. The second thing I need you guys to write down, get this tatted on you, tweet it. Don't get it tatted. What was meant to burn you, God will use to refine you. Can I say that again? What was meant to burn you, God will use to refine you. Verse 19 and 20, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury because they said, we will not bow down. Either way, God is faithful. And the expression on his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Watch what he did. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than what it's usually heated. He was so mad that he said, I'm going to turn up the heat in the furnace before we turn you in. Verse 20, and he ordered some of his mighty men to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the fire. Don't be surprised when the enemy turns up the heat. Don't be surprised when temptations start to come. See, you cute, but you weren't that cute until you started being faithful. Now your DMs are jumping. The person you would have gave a chance before Christ, they weren't even looking at you. But now that you're being faithful, now that you're serving at church, now that you're fasting, all of a sudden, I'm the hottest thing on the block. Like, why are y'all hollering at me now? I was sinning last year. Where was y'all at? But the enemy doesn't have to turn up the heat on people who are already serving him. He turns up the heat on people who are standing firm in their faithfulness to God. So Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, I'm turning up the heat. Expect temptation. I told y'all, this ain't a shout sermon. This is a warning sermon. Expect temptation. Expect the test. Expect it. Don't be surprised. The enemy has been observing you. The enemy know what you like. He not going to send the person that don't give you a little tingle. Like, he going to send the temptation. He going to send the plug. The plug ain't hit you up in weeks, but hey, I got that. They're going to hit you up after this. Why? Because the enemy is trying to trip you up while you be faithful. And some of y'all too saved to really admit I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to you. You know that there are things that still tempt you. And if that right, wrong time happens, I'm going to fall. I might jump into it. It ain't even going to be a fall. It's going to be a jump. And I need the Holy Spirit. Get back with me now. The Holy Spirit to give me the strength to fight temptation when it comes. To endure the fire when the enemy turns it up. Let's go. Verse 21. I got to be real with y'all. That's the only way I can be. Verse 21. Then the men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, and hats, and other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace. Watch verse 22. This is crazy. Because the king's order was so quick, the furnace overheated, and the flame of the fire killed the men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. He turned up the fire, and his soldiers tried to take the boys in, and they got burnt up. The enemy may turn up the heat, but nothing is too hot for the spirit that lives within you. And watch this, watch this. The fire that might have burnt someone else, it won't burn you. The same fire that would have taken somebody else out, because you have the Spirit of God, because it's not your strength, it's His strength, you're able to endure things that other people could not endure. They were thrown in the fire and they chilling. The soldiers took them to the fire and were burned alive. That's because you need the Holy Ghost to give you strength when the fire is too much for your flesh, but it's not too much for the Holy Spirit. And God will use the fire that was meant to burn you to refine you. Do you know that gold doesn't start as gold? I'm about to jump off the stage and go over there. Gold doesn't start as gold, but it starts in the fire as coal. And because it endured the fire, it was refined, and what comes out is more valuable than what went in. God is trying to make you like pure gold. He's going to let you get into the fire, and you're not going to like it. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be complaining. You're going to ask why. But if you trust the process, He will refine you in the fire. There are people that did not make it through what you're making through right now. There are some people who are losing their mind and they're going through the same thing you're going through. And the only difference, somebody say, the only difference is that you know Jesus. That's the only difference. I'm not stronger than you. I'm not better than you. I'm not a superhuman. I just have his spirit giving me strength during this time. And God is going to use the fire to refine you. So even though you're heeding my warning that the enemy is going to turn up the heat, I want you to know that even in the heat, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan to make you better. God is so cold with it that he uses the enemy strategy against the enemy. What the enemy sent to weaken you, God is strengthening you. What the enemy meant to kill you is giving you life. It's because you're enduring the fire that God is making you stronger. Is that not good news? Let's go to the third point, verse 24. Not only will God use the fire to refine you, my third point is God will use your fire to display his faithfulness. He will use your time in the fire to show others that he's faithful. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and he rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, I'm getting happy. Here we go. Did we not cast three men into the fire? And his boys were like, yeah, king, we did. We did only put three men in the fire. Verse 25, I'm about to do a backflip. He answered and said, but I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. If you can hear this and not shout, I don't know what's going on. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God. Oh my gosh. Nebuchadnezzar had to look into the fire and see the boys who he tried to kill. He thought he sent three men to burn. But what God was really doing was putting his faithfulness on display. Because Shadrach and Meshach were faithful, I'm going to show you that I'm going to get into the fire with them. You're asking God, why am I in this situation? Why am I in the fire? Is it so people can watch me burn? And God is saying, I didn't put you in the fire so people could watch you burn. I allowed it so that people could see me working in your situation. Oh, I know you're uncomfortable. I know it's hot, but people are looking at how you're enduring. People are seeing me keep you. Oh my gosh. They're seeing you keep coming to church. They're seeing you serve anyway. They're seeing you fast anyway. And the ones who wanted to deny the ones who built statues, the ones who lifted up false idols, the ones who demanded you bow to them, they're going to have to watch me be faithful to you in the fire. Give God some glory for that. God protects the faithful. I need you to receive that in your heart. God protects the faithful. It doesn't always feel like it. The fire's not supposed to feel good. The fire's not supposed to feel good. But God protects the faithful. Go with me to verse 26 and 27, and then I'm going to go to my close. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, watch this, servants of the Most High, capital G God. He got it right this time. He said, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Watch this. I love the details in this. Verse 27. And the clothes that they had on, the king's counselors gathered them together, and they saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. It's so detailed. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Hold on. Wait a minute. No. That's not what the Bible just said. That's not what the Bible just said. You did not just tell me that the Hebrew boys went into the fire and God was with them. And Nebuchadnezzar was so moved that he declared that God is the Most High God. And then he tells them to come out, and they come out. They came out still swagged out. Why is this encouraging to you? Because you need to know that you can endure the fire knowing that one, God is with you. But the second one, you need to run out of your aisle on this one. And in the end, you won't even look like the fire that you've been through. God is gonna keep you in the fire, and you're gonna come out of your situation not even looking like what you've been through. Your neighbor is sitting next to you, not even knowing that you're depressed, not even knowing you got anxiety, not even knowing that you was crying in the car when you got here. You will come out of this situation not even looking like what God allowed you to go through. Did you hear what I just said? The enemy did not put you in the fire. God allowed you to get into the fire. Stop giving the enemy credit for what you're going through. He is not that powerful. God had a plan for the fire the whole time. And then people are gonna see you when you overcome. People are gonna see you when you're finally healed. People are gonna see you when you overcome your insecurities. People are gonna see you when you really get that degree and you start your family and you get your life together in the way that you want it to. And they're gonna say, how did you do that in spite of everything you've been through? How did you do that? And you told me when you was crying on the phone that you wanted to give up. And you're only gonna be able to give them one answer. I'm about to run right now. It wasn't because I was so strong. It wasn't because I'm a superhuman. It wasn't because I'm better than you. It's because I wasn't in the fire alone. Oh, it was because. Woo. Woo. The title of my message is Faithful in the Fire. But I want you to know I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about how God is faithful in the fire. God is going to keep you in the fire. God is going to make it to where you come out better than what you went in. If you believe that, I need you to take 5 seconds and give God a crazy praise. Hey, hey. Woo. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. You've been through too much. You've been through too much. And God has been with you the whole time. In the fire, in the pain, in the stress, in the grief, in your losses, God has remained faithful to you. He's gonna give your enemies a front row seat to your victory. He's gonna give your haters a front row seat to his glory. So get your popcorn, get ready. Cause God, he's gonna make me better after this fire. Come on, come on. I'm trying to close this sermon, but it's too good. And some of y'all are like, why won't he just keep going? Some of y'all are like, why are all these people standing? Some of y'all are looking around like, it don't take all that. Some of y'all are wondering why we're in tears, but you don't know what we've been through. You have no idea what we've trusted God through. You have no idea what this church is trusting God through right now. You don't understand how the enemy has turned up the fire. You have no idea. Give us like 1 minute. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm so sorry. Give us like 60 more seconds. But we've been going through, and God has remained faithful. So we're going to take about 40 more seconds to give God praise and give God glory. Seconds. Hey. You got 30 more seconds. Ooh. 20 more. We'll act like we got some sense. 20 more. He deserves it. He deserves it. Okay, 10 more seconds and we'll behave again. 10 more seconds. Woo! Okay. We gotta behave now. We got guests. We got people streaming. They don't know what's going on. The moral of the story. And I'm not just talking about your story. I'm talking about the story. The moral of the story is God gets the glory in the end. I said God gets the glory in the end. Whether I live or I die, God gets the glory in the end. Whether I make it out of the fire or I perish in the fire, God gets the glory in the end. When it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, the scripture says, my Bible says, that in the end, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Your fire is temporary, but His glory is eternal. I know it hurts. I know it's a lot right now. But He's going to get the glory in the end. Get the glory out of our lives, God. We want You to get the glory, God. We want Your name to be known, God. We want people to see us in the fire and declare You are the Most High God. We declare that all false idols are destroyed in Jesus' name. We declare that every lowercase g God has to bow before the one true God. We declare boldness and courageousness in the face of the fire. We will not bow to the created gods. We will not be scared of the created gods. We will not operate in fear. Because You get the glory in the end. You get the glory in the end. You get the glory in the end. I might not get what I want. I might not have every prayer answered. But answer this one prayer, God. Answer this one prayer. I only got one prayer left. Get the glory out of my life. I need you to get it, God. Don't let this be for nothing. Don't let this pain be in vain. Get the glory out of my life. Put your goodness on display. Amen. 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 He gets the glory in the end. It's a hard pill to swallow for you to realize you're not the main character in this story. Oh, I just made somebody mad when I said that. You're not the main character in this story. It's not all about you. But the good news is God loves you. He protects you and provides for you, even though it's not all about you. So there's things he's gonna do for you in spite of you. There's things he's gonna bless you with, and it's not because you deserve it. It's because you've remained faithful. There's things he's put in your heart, and he's gonna give it to you. But it's not until you tear down every false idol that has presented itself as opposition to him. I'm going to go ahead and open up the altar. There's no point in closing because that is the close. Here's what's crazy about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had this level of boldness and faithfulness. And this is before Jesus came and died on the cross. This is before the new covenant promises. They were this faithful before Jesus, before the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And here we are in 2023, and we have more than what they had. Not only do we have Jesus, not only do we know he died and he rose again, but he sent a helper in the Holy Ghost. So you actually have more than what they had. So if they can stand in the fire and be faithful, my question to you is, what is your excuse? You have more than they had. So I want to put something on notice in this room. And I want to give God what he deserves in this moment. We've already worshiped. We've already observed his word. But there are some idols that are waiting to see who you will bow to. Oh, they're waiting. They know that you fasted. They know that you made your way to church today, but what they have not seen is you bow down. So today, we're gonna do a display, and we're gonna let the enemy see, the same way Nebuchadnezzar had to look into the fire and see the faithfulness of God. I dare you, I challenge you, I compel you to end this service at this altar or right where you are, not making a spectacle, but bowing before the one true God. There's no better way to end this fast than to show everyone and to show the enemy that's trying to turn up the fire that no matter what you do, I'm still gonna bow before my God. So as you start heading to the altar, as you sit where you are, if you want to just make a place right where you are in your seats, or if you want to come up, that's perfectly fine. But in your mind, think of the idols that have been created in your life. What has positioned itself as an opposition to God in your life? What is begging you to bow in place of God? Oh, I think it's powerful for the enemy to see. A church of young people who aren't ashamed of the gospel and will bow down before God. This ain't an Instagram moment. This is not a TikTok moment. This is a moment for our life. Our future will be better because we chose to bow down. Our lives will be better because we chose to bow down. This is for you. Your mental health will be better because you chose to bow down. Your quiet time with God will be better because you chose to bow down. As you bow and as the choir sings, I want you to give God your best praise because you're in a posture that shows surrender. You're in a posture where you're saying, God, you are above all. You are everything to me. And I'm giving everything in my life. I'm not gonna be perfect, but what I will be is humble, and I will bow myself before you. So as they sing, we're gonna bow together, and we're gonna give God a sweet presentation of how good he is. So before they sing and before we start to pray on our knees, can you give God a shout of praise for how good he is and for remaining faithful in the fire? Glory be to God. Amen. 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 Amen.